It's only February, but the 2018 election season is already heating up. Today, we speak with 4th District Congressional candidate Monica DePaul. Good morning, and live from Studio 5, this is First Coast Connect on 89.9. And thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross, and we are always live on the radio at 9. Also, never miss a show. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and through our WJCT app. Just ahead, she's running a long shot bid, but says it's time for Democrats to grow a spine. Candidate Monica DePaul on why she's taking on incumbent and heavy favorite John Rutherford for Jacksonville's 4th District seat in Congress. You can get on the line now at 549-2937. Then later, Florida's Constitution Revision Commission makes a stop in Jacksonville. Find out about potential changes to the state constitution. Plus, the Riverside Craft Beer Festival is this weekend. We'll tell you about that. All of that and more ahead this morning. But first this hour, she's a Democrat running in the heavily Republican 4th Congressional District here in North Florida. Monica DePaul is an author, a former adjunct professor at UNF, and an active voice in Jacksonville's LGBT community. She made history as a delegate for Bernie Sanders at the 2016 Democratic Convention as the first transgender delegate to a major political convention from the state of Florida. And like several other candidates running this cycle, DePaul is looking to become the first transgender member of Congress if elected. But she's running an uphill battle against a well-funded and heavily favored candidate as a Democrat in this conservative district. Still, though, in recent days, as the gun debate explodes in Florida and around the nation, there's been an upsurge of interest in her long-shot candidacy. Monica DePaul joins us now in studio with more about her campaign and takes your calls. Monica DePaul, thanks for joining the program.
Glad to be here, Melissa.
And here's our question to callers. What are your questions for 4th District Congressional candidate, Democrat Monica DePaul? The number to join the show, 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online, send your emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org, tweets to @MelissaInJax, and weigh in on our First Coast Connect Facebook page. And of course, the incumbent who holds this seat, former sheriff, Congressman John Rutherford, a familiar voice on this program, been a guest here in Studio 5 many times. This is your first appearance on the show. You're an author. You have written some books in the vampire genre, former UNF professor, and you're transgender. An interesting and unusual candidate. You are also the first ever transgender delegate from Florida. You were a pledged delegate for Senator Sanders in 2016. Was that your first foray into politics?
Yes, it was. I was kind of, as an adjunct professor, I was very much interested in the proposals for improving education, particularly making college affordable, and for, allowing people fair pay and workers' rights. As you might already know, there's a massive problem in higher education with adjunct professors being hired instead of full-time professors, being paid less than half of what full-time professors make, and getting no benefits, no job security, nothing. So I was inspired to really get involved because of that.
Get involved in politics because of that. And from there, you've decided to run for Congress.
Yes.
You're taking on a popular, well-funded, heavily favored incumbent. I would call it the ultimate long shot bid. Why did you decide to get into this race? As I perused your website, on the homepage, you say, it's time for Democrats to grow a spine.
Yes, because I wanted to get involved because I figured somebody needs to be crazy enough to do it. Somebody actually needs to provide some kind of challenge. And it has to be somebody different. Has to be somebody unusual.
You're definitely
yes,
different.
Certainly. I look at other past candidates who have tried to break the good old boy power structure in this area, and they're usually the sort of milquetoast Democrats who don't really want to step on anybody's toes, don't want to be totally non-offensive, want to stay on the political correct spectrum here. And I just see that I'm like, that is not going to take down the forces of the forces of ignorance, the forces of just not listening to anybody that really have become the political norm with the Republican power structure here.
The Republican power structure you think is out of step with the majority of voters. Let's talk about your issues. You advocate single payer health care, as of course did Bernie Sanders. Now, would you say the majority of constituents in District 4 would advocate for that, though?
Well, you know, I would. To be honest, I think what we need right now is education on why single payer health care is the best option, because as long as we're reliant on for-profit insurance companies, the whole idea of health insurance is that it's applying a risk-based model to healthcare. Risk-based. The problem with healthcare is that it is a service that people need and will use. They are going to use it. So applying a risk-based model to that is pretty much a guarantee. In a risk-based model, prices go up when people use it. But if it's a service that people need, prices will always go up. Therefore, a single-payer system like Medicare for All, just taking the over 65 requirement for Medicare out, would be cheaper for everyone than private insurance. It would be more reliable. You wouldn't have to go out of your way to try to haggle with the insurance company. Well, the insurance company tells you, well, you had legs before, so we're going to mark this broken leg as a pre-existing condition. You don't have to worry about that. It's just Medicare.
And if you're just tuning in, we're talking with congressional candidate Monica DePaul. We'll go to your calls in a moment at 549-2937. You know, around the country, in a series of special elections, female Democrats are flipping Republican districts. Last night in Kentucky, a Democrat named Linda Belcher won a special election by 37 points. So it's not totally out of the realm of possibility that you could have a viable candidacy. That said, you are working to get on the ballot by May, I believe, either by paying a fee or by qualifying petition. Until the last week or two, I would think that has been a struggle for you because you're basically an unknown quantity in this market. That said, in the last week or two, you have reported an upsurge of interest in your candidacy because of one issue, the gun debate. You differ greatly, of course, from your opponent, John Rutherford, because you support the typical Democratic positions on gun reform, an assault weapons ban, expanded background checks, and all of the issues on which the parties typically are very divided. What are your thoughts as we talk about the massacre, the school shooting in Parkland, Florida? And we saw yesterday the students busing up to Tallahassee, and last night they watched as the Florida House voted down a ban on assault weapons. Now we're seeing this morning celebrities like Oprah pledging money to pay for this student activism around this. This issue is certainly an issue that is giving some candidates, such as yourself, a little wind in their sails. I want to hear a little bit more your positions on this issue when it comes to the gun debate in America.
Especially here in Florida, the gun lobby is extremely loud, so it really drowns out a lot of the other voices here. The fact of the matter is, a handgun is for self-defense. Then that's fine. And now we can argue about the Second Amendment all we want, but keep in mind, when the Second Amendment was written, the deadliest gun on the market was a musket, and you'd be hard-pressed to commit a mass shooting with a frickin' musket. That would be, I would say try it, but that's also dangerous, so don't try it.
I don't think they used the word frickin' in the 1700s either, but I'm just guessing.
No, and likewise, we can also argue about the original intent of the bill, but the text of the amendment, but the text does say a well-regulated militia being important to the security of the nation, the right to bear arms, shall not be infringed. It actually contains the words well-regulated right there in the amendment. And a lot of people don't actually take that into account. And like I said, we can argue about what the intent is, but it's right there. So a handgun is for self-defense. An assault rifle, like the AR-15 used in the Parkland shooting, there's a reason why it's called an assault rifle, because it is for assault. It is a primarily offensive weapon meant to be used in warfare. Now, we can argue that, I need this to defend myself. Well, who are you defending yourself from? It's not like we're going to have... I really doubt that terrorists are going to care enough to try to rob whatever stash of pornography or meth you have in your house. I don't know. I'm not judging. I really doubt that that's going to be necessary. And some will be like, well, we need this for hunting. What kind of deer are you hunting? That's not a hunting rifle. Something that squeezes out that many rounds isn't going to leave much of the deer left.
Okay, so you're for an assault weapons ban.
Yes.
How are you going to win over voters who disagree with you in District 4?
You know, here's the thing. So I think there's going to be a...
And let me just jump in, because I think there are a number of voters who might be open to evolving on their position on this.
Yes.
But they're not where you are. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I mean, it's definitely going to be the case where a lot of people aren't going to agree with this at all, because the NRA is very powerful, very well funded. And to be honest, they don't really give a crap whenever high school students die. Let's just be honest about that. The lives of kids really don't mean anything to the NRA. We've seen that during this past week. And so they'll continue spreading around their propaganda. I'm sure the local conservative media, as powerful as it is, will smear me as much as it can. But what I want to do is move the conversation forward, because there hasn't been enough of that. And if we start moving this conversation, we start actually talking about it, then more and more people will hopefully we'll start thinking, well, wait a second. Yeah, why are these allowed? Machine guns are banned. You can't go out and buy a bazooka. Why can you buy something that can be easily modified into practically being a machine gun? And those modifications are legal to basically turn the AR-15 into something close to a machine gun.
Right. And so now, in recent days, we've seen President Trump come out and say he would be in favor of changes to the law when it comes to modifications like bump stocks. So,
right.
So very rapidly in the last few days alone, we've seen, even all the way up to the White House, shifting positions on this around the edges.
Yeah.
And so
Donald Trump says a lot of things, though, and he rarely ever does them.
So you don't take that at its word?
I really don't take much of anything he says at his word.
Okay.
Because, I mean, he's redefined fake news as anything that doesn't agree with him.
So then getting back to what I mentioned a minute ago, as you campaign in this conservative district, your first challenge is to get on the ballot.
Yes.
And then your second challenge is to craft a message that will appeal to persuadable voters.
Right.
Are you too progressive to do that, in this district?
You know,
that's my question.
The policies I support have been statistically proven. Now, I can't find much about within this particular district, because it looks like no one's really bothered polling this district, because they just assume it's going to go red every single time. But the majority of Americans, and we're even talking about responsible gun owners here, and believe me, I'm trying to become a responsible gun owner. I would actually appreciate some recommendations on a good handgun.
You'd like to become one?
Yes.
Yeah. You're right about that. By healthy bipartisan majorities, the majority of Americans favor the types of reforms that are being discussed, that have been discussed in the last week. Let's go to some calls now for Monica DePaul, the Democrat running in CD4. North Florida's congressional district. She is trying to get on the ballot to run against incumbent Republican John Rutherford, 549-2937. Jacob in St. Augustine. Hi, Jacob. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Sure.
I had a comment that I felt compelled to call in based on your guest's comments about meth and pornography in the homes of people that own AR-15s. I'm not an AR-15 owner myself, and I'm in support of an assault weapons ban that covers those types of guns. But I don't think that's an effective argument because it immediately puts people on the defensive. And so what I wanted to comment on was that it's really only a matter of time before something like the Parkland shooting happens here in our area. And when that does happen, people's minds will change. And it's sad that it would take something like that to cause us to have to change our minds. But I think what we need to make everyone aware of is that it could happen here. It could happen here at any time in any one of our schools, because there's nothing different about Parkland than any of our schools here in this area that we, you know, that are part of our community. And so that's what we need to start talking about, is getting people in the mindset of what's stopping this from happening here. There's nothing stopping it from happening here. It could happen here, and that's why we need to take action. So that was my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Jacob.
I would like to say that I absolutely agree with you on that. As we've talked about, I've taught college for over 5 years, and I am currently a substitute working in Duval County High Schools. And I see something like this happening, and it hits very close to home for me, because that could be one of my classes. And I mean, yes, I know what I personally
have. So you're in the school system every day now?
Several days of the week. I also have an online job.
Okay. But, so you're teaching in a public high school. So this is close for you.
Yes. It is very close to me. I've gone through active shooter training myself, but that shouldn't have to be skills. I mean, yeah, we should learn about that, but it shouldn't have to be skills that everyone needs to use. And let me just say, arming teachers is not the solution. 'Cause if a kid gets a hold of that gun, that's going to be an extreme problem. And
what about the other part of his comment that making sarcastic comments about meth and things like that isn't going to win, you know, undecided voters over to you?
That's pretty accurate. I will admit that. If anybody reads my books,
and by the way,
you'll know that I have a very comedic mindset. So yes, that was meant to be hyperbole. No, I recognize that someone who is a gun owner is not necessarily going to have materials like that in their home.
And your books, by the way, much was made out of this some time ago on local TV news.
Transgender. Yeah. Vampire fiction writer.
Yes, you write in the vampire genre, but there are satirical takes on the vampire genre.
Yes.
Blood on Fire, and then in 2016, the sequel, Blood on the Rocks.
Yes.
But there are sort of humorous takes on the vampire genre.
Yes, and interestingly, I do talk about responsible gun ownership in there.
In the books? Oh, really?
Although there is a bit of irresponsibility because someone who shouldn't have a gun does have a gun, but knows how to use it. So.
Okay, let's go to Anne on the north side. Hi, Anne.
Hi. I didn't hear the beginning of this. Is our candidate a Democrat or a Republican? And I'm going to vote against anybody who is supportive of gun rights regulations, let's say, reduction. I think we have the right to determine what guns are sold, what magazines are sold, and I think we have the right to regulate the age of the people who can buy them, and I think it's about time. I can assure you I will not be voting for Mr. Rutherford, because I know where his loyalties lie. I'm afraid that actually we're going to have to be running against our mayor, who is rumored to be the one who's going to take Rutherford's place as the Republican candidate. That Mr. Rutherford is really only a placeholder for our mayor. I hope to hell that's not true. Thank you.
I wasn't quick enough with the button on that. Anne, thanks for the call. I hadn't heard that rumor, but thanks for the call. Can you answer her questions?
Yeah, I am a Democrat, and I am running as such. I support the thing is right now in Florida, it's easier to buy an AR-15 than it is to buy a handgun. And that is completely insane. I still have to confirm this, but I read something about like basically a teenager being able to buy an AR-15. I'm not sure how old Nicholas Cruz was at the time.
He was 19.
He was not. Okay. Well, at least he's 18. At least he's over 18. I would say that it really should be over 21, because someone who's not even being trusted to be old enough to drink should not be able to buy a deadly weapon. We already regulate certain kinds of guns. Like, you can't just buy the kind of machine gun that would be mounted on a tank and have that in your home. So yes, definitely we should be able to determine what kinds of guns people are allowed to own, just as long as they're still allowed to own guns. Hunting rifles, handguns, that's fine.
You support the Second Amendment, in other words. You want to become a licensed gun owner, you said?
Yes, because, well, I went through the training to do that because I wanted to learn more about this matter. And my stance on assault weapons hasn't changed, and I educated myself on other kinds of weapons.
Do you favor an assault weapons ban?
Yes.
A full ban?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Martin in Mandarin. Hi, Martin.
Hi. Hi, my comment was about your opening statement about when you quoted the Second Amendment. You selectively left off the key word. You mentioned about militia and everything else, but you didn't mention the right of the people to keep and bear arms. You didn't even say the word people. So that's my first comment. So we do have that right. But secondly, the purpose of owning a firearm is to protect yourself, and it's also from several different things. People argue a lot of different reasons for the Second Amendment, but part of it is the tyranny of the federal government. You have the right, in case something were to happen, if there were to become a totalitarian state or something like those extreme lines. But you also have the right to protect yourself. And the government isn't always there to protect you. You know, we'll give you some examples of insurrection. What about the during Katrina? What about during the L.A. riots? What about the Watts riots? All of these things. Where was the government? The police couldn't protect people. So you have the right to protect yourself. And I'm sorry, a little pea shooter is not going to protect you from a riot or somebody trying to, burn down an entire city. You know, you have the right to protect yourself. And I'm not a member of the NRA, and I don't own an assault rifle. But, I understand the other side's concerns. And the primary difference between, Democrats and Republicans on this issue is Democrats are willing to give away their freedom for safety. They want to give away everything, just keep me safe. Republicans are more independent. They believe in protecting themselves and doing things for themselves. And that's a fundamental difference between the two parties. And, I'm kind of in the middle. I'm not an extremist on either end, and I am also reasonable, limitations. But, you've got to be honest about this, and that is a fundamental difference. Democrats will give up everything for safety. Republicans will not. They're very independent.
All right. Thanks, Martin. That's Martin in Mandarin. And he touches on an important part of this. So many folks in this country are diehard Second Amendment supporters because they feel that they might someday need to take up arms against the government. So what about that?
Well, we can't forget here that Nicholas Cruz, he wasn't taking up arms against the government. He has been shown training with his weapon in a MAGA hat, in a Make America Great Again hat. He is a complete Donald Trump fanboy. So we talk about defending ourselves from the federal government until we start looking at some of the so-called riots that are brought up. When
well,
we're talking
Watts,
about
Watts was a real riot. That huh? was a, Watts was a real riot.
Oh yes. Yeah. We talk about a lot of these events, and we can't forget the fact that whenever what's the right way to word this? There too often when people are defending themselves, it ends up being black and brown people who end up getting the brunt of the government forces that they actually have to defend themselves against. And The NRA and other organizations tend to be very quiet about their gun rights and whether a, say, black person is able to defend themselves against, say, a white person who is coming onto their property. In Jackson, even in Jacksonville, we have Michael Santani, who is still walking free because of the Stand Your Ground laws, when he kills a black man on his own property. That's not self-defense. That's murder.
Let's go to a few emails for candidate Monica DePaul here. Susie from the West Side emailing the show. I'm wondering what Monica DePaul's stance is on money in politics. Does she follow in the footsteps of Bernie Sanders in avoiding big money to keep the influence of the most powerful people from influencing elections?
So I am absolutely for overturning Citizens United. I think that is a completely disastrous precedent that has been set, equating money to speech, because we have a breed of politician that is purely reliant on the forces of big money, on the forces of corporate corruption. And frankly, John Rutherford's no different. He really only talks to people who already agree with him. He's held no town halls.
Is that true of you too? and I don't say this of you, Monica DePaul. I say this of America. Have we gotten to a point where we only talk to people we agree with? Everybody.
You know, yeah, I think that has actually reached a boiling point of, and I think as much as I rely on social media, I think that hasn't exactly helped, because Facebook's algorithms do tend to show people things that they are more likely to agree with politically. Now, on the matter of corporate cash, I really don't think that corporations are going to have, you know, the Koch brothers or any other huge corporate forces are going to have much interest in my campaign, because I accept the fact that, and this is a fact, tax breaks do not create jobs, period. They never have. They never will. The recent Trump tax giveaway, corporations that got huge, huge tax breaks out of that, so many of them, more than those who are creating jobs, are actually still laying people off because they have no incentive to create jobs. So measures like Citizens United make it so that CEOs, corporations are more likely to pour money into candidates who will do their bidding. Frankly, I have no interest in that.
Okay, so opposed to Citizens United.
Yes.
Like most Democrats.
Yes.
Okay, final question for you. You were a Sanders delegate to the 2016 Democratic Convention. The other day, when Special Counsel Robert Mueller announced the indictments of 13 Russian nationals who were part of this Russian bot troll farm that was actively engaged in influencing our presidential election in 2016, we learned that they were actively involved in manipulating voters' opinion on social media sites and in other ways, in particular to influence left-leaning voters to support Bernie Sanders and to influence them away from Hillary Clinton's candidacy. There's no evidence that they were coordinating with the Sanders campaign, but they were definitely very interested in promoting the Sanders campaign as a delegate to Sanders. What are your thoughts about the fact that the Russians, who are our adversaries, were so engaged in promoting Mr. Sanders?
So as much as I support Bernie Sanders, and I do, I'm not going to hide that. I'm not going to lie about it. But there was a lot of misinformation being spread about Hillary Clinton, reviving the whole email conspiracy again and again, still harping on Benghazi, despite the numerous investigations into that. And a lot of people forgetting what even happened there. The Russian bots wanted to, what's the best way to put this? So personally, I'm in the camp that the evidence is there, at least circumstantially, that yeah, Trump is coordinating with the Russians. He practically worships Vladimir Putin. I refer to him as Putin senpai, since Trump wants him to notice him. Anyway, I don't expect a lot of people will get that joke. Anyway, Of course, they wanted to make Clinton look as bad as possible because that would elevate Trump. And as soon as Bernie Sanders lost the primary, and I saw this happening actively, I noticed posts that didn't seem quite right. As soon as Bernie Sanders was out of the primary, they started moving on to influence people to vote for Jill Stein, because the fewer votes went to Hillary, the more likely it is that Trump would win. That was, yes, it makes a lot of sense in that regard, especially when you look at the shift to Stein afterward.
Yeah. Well, we'll continue to follow it. In the meantime, it's good to have you on the show. She is the Democrat running in CD4 for Congress, Monica DePaul. Thanks for coming on the program.
Thanks for inviting me.
We'll be right back. Much more still ahead later. A look at the millennial website, Rentals Reinvented, Trentals.com. But up next, Jacksonville weighs in on proposed changes to the state constitution. Back in a moment.
Women want to buy a home in the same neighborhood. One's white.
We could easily get pre-approved for a mortgage up to almost $500,000.
One's black.
I was really sad and just like so defeated.
And it's happening to people of color across the country. They're missing out on home loans that white people are getting. On the next Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.
Thursday at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
Just because other people don't see it, doesn't mean it's not there. My Next Snap Judgment, from WNYC, The Path. Snap Judgment, storytelling with the beat. Do not miss it.
Saturdays at 2 on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
Welcome back. It's called the Florida Constitutional Revision Commission. Sounds pretty dry, but it's important. The CRC meets once every 20 years to consider changes to the state constitution, and they affect us all. Right now, members of this commission are holding a series of meetings all over the state so they can hear from you, the public. They met yesterday on the UNF campus to hear from people about 37 proposed amendments. WJCT News Director Jessica Palumbo and reporter Ryan Bank are here with more. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
All right, Ryan, so people came out to really weigh in to this commission. What were some of the topics that got people fired up?
So, of course, there's 37 proposals by sponsored by specific commissioners that are in active consideration. There's 782 total proposals submitted by citizens. The active consideration ones are, they can range everything from privacy rights to religious, to money going, public money going to religiously affiliated private schools. But two of the biggest ones that really hit yesterday at UNF when the commission met in Jacksonville was a proposal to take 20% of money that normally goes to tobacco-free Florida to help people stop smoking and prevent kids from smoking with those very stark and direct media campaigns, and funnel that into cancer research. Now, mm-hmm. you would think the cancer research is a very laudable goal, and it's a very laudable thing to spend money on in the state budget. But because there's already mechanisms to pay for it, there are a lot of groups like the American Lung Association, the American Heart Association, the American Cancer Society, who are actually very, very much against this because they're afraid that if you take that money that is mostly funded from tobacco settlements and you put it into cancer research, you'll have more people smoking in the long run, and thus more people coming down with diseases like cancer and COPD.
Right.
The second thing was greyhound racing. There's a ban right now that they're considering for greyhound racing in the state, and Florida is the largest state for that right now. About 40 other states have already banned it. And if it's banned in Florida, a majority of the tracks will close, and everyone from breeders to racers will lose work.
And that would affect a track in our area. So, Jessica, you talked to one of the commissioners, Tom Cirio, and he's sponsoring a measure called Marcy's Law. What's that all about?
Yeah, well, first of all of these proposals are at flcrc.gov if you want to see the full list. Marcy's Law specifically relates to the rights of crime victims. So this commissioner, Tim Cirio, he said he wants to make sure, specifically in cases of sexual assault, that these victims are not being forced to be deposed by the defendant's lawyers. And this is something that he says is controversial because it would it's something that we have to wrestle with. And here's what he had to say about that.
45 of our 50 states, 45 states do not allow victim depositions. The federal government does not allow victim depositions. So that is a change, and that is something that that we are going to have to wrestle with and decide if that's what we want to do. I believe it's the right thing to do. I believe that Floridians are going to decide that's the right thing to do. And again, the accused still have their rights guaranteed under the Florida and federal constitutions. They still have their federal Sixth Amendment right to confrontation, but that applies at trial. It does. The courts have held, the Supreme Court has held, that does not provide any right to a deposition. And so, again, we are just trying to make ourselves consistent with 45 other states, the federal government, so that victims cannot be harassed and can be protected in the course of a criminal proceeding.
So that is the proposal called Marcy's Law. Also under consideration are one that would open primaries up. So, for example, in the race here between Reggie Brown and Senator Audrey Gibson here in Jacksonville, that would be opened up to all voters rather than just Democrats
in that race. And a closed primary. So they will decide, I guess, on how many amendments make it through the process. What's next in all of this?
Right. So the last time the commission met, they put forth about 8 amendments that made it to the ballot. They're going to be going through that process next, voting and drafting those amendments and deciding which ones to push onto the ballot. No matter what happens, it's going to be a crowded ballot this November. There's already 4 amendments that have been approved for the ballot that came out of the legislature and citizen initiatives. So keep an eye out, study those amendments ahead of time. It's going to be a lot of reading when you get to the ballot.
All right. Jessica Palumbo and Ryan Bank, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, how about this? If you're looking for an apartment right now, a new online portal targeted at millennials says it's got everything you need in one place. Local real estate entrepreneur Shankar Thaver is the creator of Trentals, and he calls it Rentals Reinvented. Shankar, good morning.
Thanks, Melissa. Thanks for having me here.
Thanks for being here. So you came up with something you think millennials like because everything is done at a one-stop shop at Trentals.com. How does this work?
Yeah, that's right. So Trentals.com, spelled T-R-I-N-T-A-L-S, came from Trillion Rentals. So unlike a conventional shop where a tenant has to go in, fill up an application, pay a fee, and the credit poll, what Trentals does is lets the tenant create a profile and they can just have one profile, one fee, and one credit poll. With that, they can share with any number of owners they want. So because of that, they save fees and their credit is not adversely impacted. So,
And so you came up with this concept because the rental market is booming and people want an easy, fast way to find a place, correct?
Absolutely right. And also, if you look at it, the rental process is so outdated. It is expensive and time consuming, and it is not ready for our kids. So what we are doing is, and it is, as I said, it's very painful. So as an owner, if you're trying to rent your place out today, you have to go to hoops or you have to pay a huge fee, like 10 to 12% to a property management company to rent the place. So with Trentals, all you have to do is go and list your property, and Trentals behind the scene will take that listing and push it out to all the real estate search engines like Zillow, Realtor.com, and Trulia. And once you do that, Trentals will also let you look at a potential tenant's profile, his credit, his income. And if you're happy with everything, it lets you create an online lease with just few clicks, and you can send it out for electronic signature. So all the parties sign and you collect the rent. And in the process of doing it yourself and not using a professional, you save about 10% of the monthly rent every month. So it's a huge saving for the owner, and it also saves so much money for the tenant.
And how are you making money off Trentals?
So basically, just like any the way it's done today is you walk into a leasing office, you pay an application fee. Only thing is you pay every time you apply. Instead, in rentals, you just pay one fee. The tenant pays one fee, and it applies to multiple properties. So that's where we make money off of.
Now, you came to Jacksonville in 2004, got into real estate, and it only took you about 10 years to become one of the top agents in town. Yeah. You own an interest in a brokerage firm. You own a property management company. You manage some $60 million in assets. You closed over $130 million in sales. You just took the real estate market by storm. So pretty amazing. And now with Trentals, you decided, I'm going to move into the rental market.
Why not, right? I mean, this is a great country to be in. And it has been very, Jacksonville has been extremely good to us. So, and then the next venture for me is rental is the venture. And we want to reinvent the rental landscape. That's why we are here.
And you really researched this too for this particular generation, correct?
Yes.
If you're a millennial looking for an apartment, you want to do everything with a couple of clicks.
Exactly.
Whereas an older person, they might be more inclined to want to do things in the more old-fashioned way, maybe meet the agent face-to-face first. There are some generational differences at work here, right?
Exactly. I met this reporter a few days back who was 22 years old, and he said he did not know what a money order was. So when a 20 to 23-year-old does not know what a money order is, I'm not expecting my 12, 13-year-old to know what a money order is. They want to take their smartphone, do a few clicks, and swipe it out, and the tenant, the entire profile and the money should be with the agent for them to process it and give you the keys to the property. And that's where we are heading.
Now, you can list your apartment on Trentals. If you're a real estate agent, you can also.
Yes, you
can. If you're looking to, if you have an apartment you want to list, if you just have a unit, if you're an agent, you can list. Anyone can use this portal.
Yes, an agent can use it, an owner could use it, and the tenants could, you know, basically the tenants could also use it.
Now, let me ask you, this is sort of a related question, Shankar, but affordable apartments in this area are hard to come by. Mm-hmm. Affordable apartments. How are you? What kind of feedback are you getting about that as you look at all these listings? Because people are scouring every listing they can find for an apartment they can afford. They're priced out of apartments they can afford in this city and in cities all over the country. That's a big issue. Are you seeing that? Are you getting that feedback from people looking for places?
You know, the rental prices are going up and affordability is becoming an issue. So we are seeing an uptick in the downtown area where, you know, really rundown apartments are being bought and being renovated and reasonably rented out. And we see that trend happening right now.
Yeah, it is definitely an issue. But in the meantime, it is a new portal, particularly for younger renters. It's Trentals. And that stands for, again,
Trillion Rentals. So.
Trulliant Rentals?
Yes, a Trillion Rentals. So
okay.
T-R-I-L-L-I-O-N.
Okay, it's TRINTALS.com, Trentals.com. The creator is local real estate entrepreneur Shankar Thaver. Thanks so much for being here with us.
Thank you so much, Melissa. It was a pleasure.
A quick break, and in a moment, we'll talk with jazz saxophonist Mindy Hebert. Her show at the Ritz Theater is Friday night. Also, how you need to be under the bridge this weekend. It's going to be a special weekend at Riverside Arts Market. We'll tell you about that, too. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. We'll be right back.
ACT offers a 24-hour classical music service dedicated to live classical music programming 24 hours a day. To find out more, visit us at wjct.org/hd.
Who rules the box office? The King of Wakanda.
What happens now determines what happens to the rest of the world.
Black Panther is a smash, featuring a kind of diversity we rarely see. It's a movie with a message, but is Hollywood listening? Our movie club reviews Black Panther next time on 1A. Weekdays at 10 after First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
On the next Fresh Air, actor Richard Jenkins.
Have you always been alone? Did you ever have someone?
That's Jenkins talking with the aquatic creature in the film The Shape of Water, a role that's earned him an Oscar nomination for supporting actor. Jenkins' other films include The Visitor, Flirting with Disaster, and the TV miniseries Olive Kitteridge. Join us.
Weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Erie, Pennsylvania was built on manufacturing, but a reminder here, past performance is not indicative of future results.
There is not a lot of good paying jobs. I have grandsons, I have grandchildren. They can't find a decent job here.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Erie then, Erie now, Erie tomorrow. Next time on Marketplace.
Weekday evenings at 6 on 89.9 WJCT.
Take a drive with us into the Blues Horizon every Monday and Wednesday night at 11. The best in classic and modern blues. As part of WJCT's After Hours. Every Monday and Wednesday night at 11 on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world, your music.
I don't want no woman telling me what to do.
This fantastic record, Mindy Abear and the Bone Shakers.
When this band plays live, there's this energy that I haven't experienced with other bands before.
It's an amazing thing.
Someone can play something funny, someone can play something meaningful or passionate, and the others in the band can feel that.
How do you bottle that up in studio and really capture that?
One of the most recognized and sought-after saxophonists in America, two-time Grammy nominee Mindy Hebert has been electrifying audiences with her dynamic live shows and sax prowess ever since her debut album in 2000. You've seen Mindy playing the sax on American Idol. Now, she also actually studied right here at UNF. Mindy Hebert and the Bone Shakers play the Ritz Theater in downtown Jacksonville this Friday night. I talked to her all about the show.
I've put together a band called Mindy Hebert and the Bone Shakers that was basically meant to just take all that energy, take all that power, take that abandon of rock and roll and soul and blues and just bring it live.
That is going to be an amazing show. Mindy has an incredible backup band. It is Mindy Hebert and the Bone Shakers Friday night at the Ritz. Get your tickets now. RitzJacksonville.com. Well, finally this hour, you also need to come on out to Riverside Arts Market this Saturday for the 5th annual Community Peds Care and Riverside Craft Beer Festival. All proceeds are going to benefit an amazing pediatric program. Right now, we're pleased to welcome Amanda Spence, Community Peds Care Clinical Manager. Hey, Amanda.
Good morning.
And Chris Croft is here. He's chairman of the Riverside Craft Beer Fest. Chris, good morning.
Good morning.
Chris, let's start with you. This is the 5th annual, and RAM is always fun on Saturdays, but this Saturday, you're doing something special. What's going to be happening?
We're going to have about 93 different breweries, 42 just from the state of Florida alone.
Wow.
We came up with this idea about 5 years ago, trying to come up with a different way to raise money, and we really wanted to kind of highlight the craft breweries that we do have in Jacksonville. Specifically, at the time, it was in Riverside, basically with Bold City and Intuition. Mm-hmm. And it's just really grown from there.
125 craft beers will be on site. Food trucks, live music from Grandpa's Cough Medicine, that'll make it fun.
No, they're always fun. They've been a part of the event for the past 5 years. They've come down the past 2 years from Asheville just to play the event for us.
That's fantastic. And Rotary Club of Riverside sponsors this.
That's correct.
Yeah, and raises a lot of money.
Yes, it has.
We've
raised over 300,000. We've given away over 300,000 in the past 4 years alone.
That's wonderful. Now, Amanda, people that come out to this and have a lot of fun are going to be supporting Community Peds Care. It's a large community pediatric program in this country. Can you tell us a little bit about the program? Because this is a great cause.
Sure. Community Peds Care is one of just a few large community pediatric programs that offers both palliative and hospice care. Through a team of pediatric professionals, the program offers in-hospital and in-home support both medical, nursing, psychosocial, spiritual, child life, and volunteer support for kids who have complex, chronic, or life-threatening conditions and their families. We focus on quality of life, and Community Peds Care brings comfort and care for patients from prenatal to age 21 and their families.
Yeah, and really, this is helping kids with disabilities, life-threatening conditions, helping them have a better quality of life, which is just a really important effort. And so, you know, this is an easy way to support Community Peds Care. How much are tickets going to be for the festival, Chris, on Saturday?
Saturday, the tickets will be, I believe it's $45 day of. But if you go online to RiversideCraftBeerFestival.com, there's a link to the Eventbrite page, and you can get a discount for buying the tickets early. And it really helps, it'll help you be able to get to sample the beers quicker if you buy the tickets early.
One ticket gets you all you can drink?
All you can drink. 8 ounce.
That's a little dangerous.
It is a little dangerous, but it's a little 8 ounce cup, and all you care to sample is the way we like to put it.
And more than 125 craft beers on hand for this thing. That's extraordinary.
It is pretty extraordinary. And with 93 different breweries, most breweries are bringing 2 to 3 different types of beers. So, I mean, it's really going to be closer to about 200 plus beers.
Amanda, I think you're going to get a pretty good turnout for this bash.
I think we will.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's an excellent time. So we just appreciate so much. It's through these gifts and generous donors that allows our families to be able to enjoy activities together and just feel that sense of normalcy.
That's right.
So we are so thankful.
Get your tickets now. Don't wait till the day of, because you can get a ticket on discount now if you go to RiversideCraftBeerFestival.com. That's RiversideCraftBeerFestival.com. This is coming up Saturday at Riverside Arts Market. It's the 5th annual such event presented by Rotary Club of Riverside, benefiting Community Peds Care. You are going to have so much fun, live music, food trucks, and more than 125 craft beers from all over the region and even the country. So pretty cool stuff. Chris Croft, your chairman of the festival, Amanda Spence, clinical manager at Community Peds Care. That's going to be a lot of fun. I think I'm going to stop by RAM this weekend myself. So I'll see you guys there.
Sounds great.
Sounds great.
All right. Thanks, you guys. Thanks for being here. That's our show. 1A is up next as the 1A Movie Club goes to Black Panther. I'm Melissa Ross. We'll be back at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.